says.
Aren't we proud of those two words, and don't we like to say them? Interrupted Jo, addressing the fire in her turn, and watching with delight the happy light it seemed to kindle in the eyes that had been so tragically gloomy when she saw them last.
A trifle, perhaps. She's such a captivating little woman, I can't help being proud of her.
Well, then, Uncle and Aunt were there to play propriety. We were so absorbed in one another we were of no mortal use apart. And that charming arrangement would make everything easy all round, so we did it.
When, where, how? Asked Jo, in a fever of feminine interest and curiosity, for she could not realize it a particle.
6 weeks ago at the American Consul's in Paris. A very quiet wedding, of course, for even in our happiness we didn't forget dear little Beth.
Jo put her hand in his as he said that, and Laurie gently smoothed the little red pillow, which he remembered well.
Why didn't you let us know afterward? Asked Jo, in a quieter tone, when they had sat quite still a minute.
We wanted to surprise you. We thought we were coming directly home at first. But the dear old gentleman, as soon as we were married, found he couldn't be ready under a month, at least, and sent us off to spend our honeymoon wherever we liked. Amy had once called Valrosa a regular honeymoon home, so we went there, and we're as happy as people are, but once in their lives.
My faith! Wasn't it love among the roses?
Laurie seemed to forget Jo for a minute, and Jo was glad of it. For the fact that he told her these things so freely and naturally assured her that he had quite forgiven and forgotten. She tried to draw away her hand, but as if he guessed the thought that prompted the half-involuntary impulse, Laurie held it fast, and said, with a manly gravity she had never seen in him before, "Jo, dear, I want to say one thing, and then we'll put it by forever. As I told you in my letter when I wrote that Amy had been so kind to me, I never shall stop loving you. But the love is altered, and I have learned to see that it is better as it is. Amy and you changed places in my heart, that's all. I think it was meant to be so, and would have come about naturally if I had waited, as you tried to make me. But I never could be patient, and so I got a heartache. I was a boy then, headstrong and violent, and it took a hard lesson to show me my mistake. For it was one, Jo, as you said, and I found it out, after making a fool of myself. Upon my word, I was so tumbled up in my mind at one time that I didn't know which I loved best, you or Amy, and tried to love both alike. But I couldn't. And when I saw her in Switzerland, everything seemed to clear up all at once. You both got into your right places, and I felt sure that it was well off with the old love before it was on with the new, that I could honestly share my heart between Sister Jo and wife Amy, and love them both dearly. Will you believe it, and go back to the happy old times when we first knew one another? I'll believe it, with all my heart. But, Teddy, we never can be boy and girl again. The happy old times can't come back, and we mustn't expect it. We are man and woman now, with sober work to do, for playtime is over, and we must give up frolicking. I'm sure you feel this. I see the change in you, and you'll find it in me. I shall miss my boy, but I shall love the man as much, and admire him more, because he means to be what I hoped he would. We can't be little playmates any longer, but we will be brother and sister, to love and help one another all our lives, won't we, Laurie? He did not say a word, but took the hand she offered him, and laid his face down on it for a minute, feeling that out of the grave of a boyish passion, there had risen a beautiful, strong friendship to bless them both. Presently, Jo said cheerfully, for she didn't want the coming home to be a sad one, "I can't make it true that you children are really married and going to set up housekeeping. Why, it seems only yesterday that I was buttoning Amy's pinafore and pulling your hair when you teased. Mercy me, how time does fly. As one of the children is older than yourself, you needn't talk so like a grandma. I flatter myself I'm a gentleman growed, as Peggotty said of David. And when you see Amy, you'll find her rather a precocious infant," said Laurie, looking amused at her maternal air. "You may be a little older in years, but I'm ever so much older in feeling, Teddy. Women always are, and this last year has been such a hard one that I feel 40.
Poor Joe. We left you to bear it alone while we went pleasuring. You are older. Here's a line, and there's another. Unless you smile, your eyes look sad. And when I touched the cushion just now, I found a tear on it. You've had a great deal to bear, and had to bear it all alone. What a selfish beast I've been." And Laurie pulled his own hair with a remorseful look. But Joe only turned over the traitorous pillow and answered, in a tone which she tried to make quite cheerful, "No, I had father and mother to help me, the dear babies to comfort me, and the thought that you and Amy were safe and happy, to make the troubles here easier to bear. I am lonely sometimes, but I dare say it's good for me, and—" "You never shall be again," broke in Laurie, putting his arm about her as if to fence out every human ill. "Amy and I can't get on without you, so you must come and teach the children to keep house, and go halves in everything, just as we used to do. And let us pet you, and all be blissfully happy and friendly together. If I shouldn't be in the way, it would be very pleasant. I begin to feel quite young already, for somehow all my troubles seem to fly away when you came. You always were a comfort, Teddy." And Joe leaned her head on his shoulder, just as she did years ago, when Beth lay ill and Laurie told her to hold on to him. He looked down at her, wondering if she remembered the time. But Joe was smiling to herself, as if, in truth, her troubles had all vanished at his coming. "You are the same Joe still, dropping tears about 1 minute and laughing the next. You look a little wicked now. What is it, Grandma?" "I was wondering how you and Amy get on together."
"Like angels."
"Yes, of course, at first, but which rules?" "I don't mind telling you that she does now. At least I let her think so. It pleases her, you know. By and by we shall take turns. For marriage, they say, halves one's rights and doubles one's duties." "You'll go on as you begin, and Amy will rule you all the days of your life." "Well, she does it so imperceptibly that I don't think I shall mind much. She is the sort of woman who knows how to rule well. In fact, I rather like it, for she winds one round her finger as softly and prettily as a skein of silk, and makes you feel as if she was doing you a favour all the while." "That ever I should live to see you a hen-pecked husband and enjoying it!" cried Joe, with uplifted hands. It was good to see Laurie square his shoulders and smile with masculine scorn at that insinuation, as he replied with his high and mighty air, "Amy is too well-bred for that, and I am not the sort of man to submit to it. My wife and I respect ourselves and one another too much ever to tyrannize or quarrel." Joe liked that, and thought the new dignity very becoming. But the boy seemed changing very fast into the man, and regret mingled with her pleasure. "I am sure of that. Amy and you never did quarrel as we used to. She is the sun and I the wind in the fable, and the sun managed the man best, you remember." "She can blow him up as well as shine on him," laughed Laurie. "Such a lecture as I got at Nice. I give him my word it was a deal worse than any of your scoldings. A regular rouser. I'll tell you all about it sometime." "She never will, because after telling me that she despised and was ashamed of me, she lost her heart to the despicable party and married the good-for-nothing."
"What baseness!"
"Well, if she abuses you, come to me and I'll defend you." "I look as if I needed it, don't I?" said Laurie, getting up and striking an attitude which suddenly changed from the imposing to the rapturous, as Amy's voice was heard calling, "Where is she? Where's my dear old Joe?" In trooped the whole family, and everyone was hugged and kissed all over again. And after several vain attempts, the three wanderers were set down to be looked at and exulted over. Mr. Lawrence, hale and hearty as ever, was quite as much improved as the others by his foreign tour, for the crustiness seemed to be nearly gone, and the old-fashioned courtliness had received a polish which made it kindlier than ever. It was good to see him beam at "my children," as he called the young pair, It was better still to see Amy pay him daughterly duty and affection, which completely won his old heart, and best of all, to watch Laurie revolve about the two, as if never tired of enjoying the pretty picture.